Greetings, this is Nigeria Anderson, and you are UrbanBuzzMag.com, and I have June Ida on the line with me, and he is, come on guys, he's a trumpeter, composer, musician, artist. I'm telling you right now, I need you to lock in. He has a new single out, Rivers and Bridges, off a new album, and so we're going to talk about that on today. So June, what's going on? Say hello to the people.
Hey, Nigeria. Thank you so much for having me on here. I'm so excited to be talking about the new album and sharing my music with you guys. Thank you so much for the platform.
Yeah, you're more than welcome. That's what we do. And welcome to the Key Player family. So now, a trumpeter. I mean, people play piano, sax. What made you decide to be a trumpeter?
Yeah, sure. So I've moved around a decent amount in my life here, but I was born originally in St. Louis, Missouri.
Okay.
And so You're probably familiar, Nigeria. You know, St. Louis has a rich history
yes.
of not only jazz and blues, but famously, you know, folks like Miles Davis, originally from there, Clark Terry, and more recently, people like Keon Harold have all been products of the great city of St. Louis. So I like to think growing up in that environment, you know, it's just something that I naturally gravitated towards,
mm-hmm.
whether it was listening to, you know, jazz albums that my parents had bought me growing up, or just being out, you know, the music that they would play in the grocery stores and
right.
the streets and whatnot. I like to think I just absorbed all that music growing up. So whenever we had an opportunity to pick instruments and band in fourth grade,
mm-hmm.
it was not a question for me, you know, that I wanted to play the trumpet at that point.
Wow. Wow. Now, composer, when did you start writing?
Yeah, that's a great question. Maybe in the past 10 years or so, I would say I've been the most active writing.
Uh-huh.
You know, I've always loved music first and foremost, but, you know, specifically composition. And, you know, jazz is also not the only genre that I love and listen to. So since I was young, right, I was listening to everything from R&B and hip hop to classical to jazz to you name it, you know.
Right.
So from a compositional standpoint, I've always been fascinated about, you know, what makes a good song, right? Or
yeah.
what makes a song cause an audience to react a certain way or feel a certain emotion. So whether that be the melody or the harmony or the rhythm or the storytelling, you know, that's always been an ask that I've loved. And so to be able to incorporate that a little bit more into my artistry and try to find a perfect marriage of, you know, the trumpet performance married to original compositions that I've written to try to help tell my story, you know, or share stories that I want to share with the audience, that's been a very rewarding experience so far.
Yeah, I mean, excellent. I love your music. Okay, let me stay focused. Hold on. Now, did you go to school or are you self-taught?
Yeah, so a little bit of both. I actually, my degrees are in engineering, funny enough. It's kind of my dirty little secret, but yeah, when I went to school, I was pursuing an engineering degree. And luckily, the school that I was attending, Case Western Reserve University in Cleveland, Ohio,
uh-huh.
they had it's a world-class conservatory, Cleveland Institute of Music, that shared the same campus. So while I was pursuing the engineering degrees, I would be doing ensembles and lessons and classes at the conservatory. But
like running across, I'll be right back.
Yeah, you know, it was fun. It was probably the craziest 4 years of my life, you know, doing engineering classes and labs all day and then going straight to ensemble until, you know, midnight or something like that. But I'm very thankful for that experience.
Mm-hmm.
But that being said, from a jazz perspective, I didn't really go to school for jazz in any form. So I started playing professionally when I was in Los Angeles back around 2015 through 2020. And so I would say that was probably the period where I was learning the most and getting the most experience and, yeah, kind of getting to the point where I am now.
Right, right. Now, how did you create such a mashup? Because there's no genre for you. You are like so eclectic when you play and you hear everything. You hear the jazz, you hear the R&B, you hear the hip hop, you know what I'm saying? You just are able to really mash it up for real, like, and express yourself, like you said, through your own sound. You really do have your own sound.
I really appreciate you saying that, Nigeria.
Yeah, how did you get to that place?
Yeah, you know, for me, and I think a lot of other musicians, you know, in our field, we don't really think about genres too rigidly.
Right.
You know, I think ever since I was young, like I mentioned, you know, of course I love Louis Armstrong and Duke Ellington, but you know, when I put the playlist on shuffle, you know, I might get Diana Ross pop up next, or Tony, or Ohio Players, or, you
Come
know,
on,
whomever
sir.
It is.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just, you know, I think similar to any other art, you know, the output that we produce artistically is just an amalgamation of all the inputs that we kind of grew up with, right? So, you know, I don't necessarily think whenever I'm writing a tune, like, oh, this is going to be a little bit more jazz as opposed to a little bit more hip hop. You know, there's also a saying in the jazz community about, you know, we don't necessarily really call it jazz. A lot of people prefer to call it Black American music.
Uh-huh.
Because of the roots from which this music has evolved and from which it's come. You know, it comes from the same lineage that has branched off into genres today that we know as, you know, say R&B or neo soul or hip hop. But the roots of kind of where all those genres come from are the same tree. And so, yeah, in short, you know, I like to write music that I hear, you know, from the stuff that I grew up listening to, but also hopefully what people want to hear and just enjoy listening to.
Wow, I love it. So let me just ask you this question. For me, music always has a sound, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I do hear people say colors. Do you hear it in sound or see it in colors or both?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think a little bit of both, for sure. You know, especially whenever I'm teaching students about, say, harmony or, you know, melodies.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely, I like to explain things in colors because I think it's a pretty intuitive way to think about a music in that way.
Right.
But yeah, definitely, I'm all for, you know, all the art can be described kind of using communal language, right? So whether it's textures or colors or even flavors, you know, I'm a big cooking fan, so sometimes, you know, I'll think of certain things in terms of kind of flavors or spices or whatever it might be.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, 100%. I think any language we're able to use to kind of help describe what we're experiencing, because
mm-hmm.
at the end of the day, I think art and music in particular, you know, it's a language that helps us describe or communicate the things that maybe we aren't able to communicate via, you know, language, right? So if that's something that I can communicate, you know, this longing for a childhood best friend, or something like that, right? You know, if I can communicate that feeling via the music as opposed to trying to explain it via words, that's kind of the end goal for sure.
Yeah. Now, the album project is called Bell Flowers. How did you come up with the name?
Yeah, so Bell Flower, it's a little bit of a backstory, but like I mentioned, I attended college in Cleveland, Ohio, and Bell Flowers was actually a name of the street on our university campus where senior year, my friends and I would meet up, and it was just, I just remember it being this kind of pivotal point where, you know, we would often get together after class and talk about the past 4 years and just reminisce over the memories, but then also look forward and say, you know, hey, in a month, we're all going to be in different parts of the world.
Right.
You know, one was going into medicine, one's a finance person now I'm doing music. And it was just I just remember being a kind of a pivotal snapshot of that moment where simultaneously we're looking backwards and reflecting and appreciating and reminiscing, but also in the same breath, looking forward, you know, with excitement and hope and joy. And, you know, I think this music, not to get too meta about it, but this music, you know, that stems from Black American music that I'm privileged to take a part of. A lot of it is based in music of the diaspora,
mm-hmm.
right? And so I think in a sense, you know, this music also captures everyone that has come before us, you know, all the sacrifices that they've made in order to bring this music to us in today's day and age. And also it's our responsibility as musicians to move that forward in ways that are relevant for us in today's day and age in a responsible manner.
Right.
And so that ethos has always stuck with me, and it's also just kind of a nice way to commemorate, you know, for my close friends and my Cleveland family.
Right.
So, yeah, that's the story behind Bellflower.
Okay. So let's talk about Rivers and Bridges. How did you come up with that title and be inspired by that single you just released?
Yeah, absolutely. So Rivers and Bridges is an ode to my quasi-hometown. So when I was 10, I moved to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And that's where I did middle school, high school, and my family, you know, was for a long time. So in a way, that's actually my true hometown. And you're probably familiar in Nigeria. Pittsburgh has a, you know, very rich history of musicians.
Yeah.
Stemming from, you know, George Benson to Billy Strayhorn, Mary Lou Williams, Ahmad Jamal, you know, the list goes on and on.
Yeah.
And it's also where I first, you know, started to develop my musicality and trumpet and my love for jazz. And so, yeah, I wanted to, you know, make some kind of ode, some kind of shout out to my hometown where I spent so much time. So you'll hear in the track, you know, that kind of vamp that starts out the song that's meant to mimic the rivers.
Oh,
Pittsburgh,
nice.
Famously known as the Three River City. And compositionally, it's rooted in, you know, I would say maybe post-bop rhythms of composers like James Williams or Bobby Watson, a lot of the later Art Blakey composers that I grew up loving. So, yeah, in a lot of ways, you know, musically, but also thematically and just kind of spiritually, it's everything that I love about, you know, Pittsburgh, but it's everything that I love and appreciate about my upbringing. And, yeah, again, just paying respect, you know, giving my flowers to the city, but also the people and the community that kind of brought me up to where I am today.
I love it. I love it. And being an artist of your caliber, are you seeing growth in your industry of people your age? You know, because you talk about jazz and, you know, all the people you're naming, that's old school. So, but, you know, I think since early 90s, there's been a growth of younger people adapting to jazz. What are you seeing?
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, first and foremost, I'm still in the scope of all the greats, you know, in our world. I'm still at the bottom of the totem pole I'm working. But, 100%, you know, going all the way back to the 90s with the Young Lions movement, you might be familiar, you know, with folks like Christian McBride and Lloyd Hargrove,
yes,
Antonio,
yes,
Hart, you know, reading, yes, the way. But even in today's day and age, you know, amongst my peers and honestly even the younger generation, younger than me, you know, people often like to say things like jazz is dead, but I think we're just redefining maybe what jazz is to us.
Right.
You know, being here in New York, and you're probably seeing it too, Nigeria. I mean, there's just in the past year, I think there have been 2, 3, 4 major jazz clubs that have opened up, and I'll frequent them pretty regularly, but, you know, they're usually very full, you know, full of musicians, the full of fans as well, and a lot of times, you know, full of young people, young fans.
Right.
And so, yeah, 100%. I definitely don't subscribe to the notion that jazz is dead or it's not popular. I think we're just maybe changing or redefining what the concept of that word means. And so whether it's, you know, I guess if you want to call it a crossover artist or hybrid artist that, you know, might appeal to jazz artists, but also say the R&B world or the hip hop world, those are all still within the catalog of the greater Black American music genre. And so in that sense, I think this music is only growing and only becoming more popular.
I love it. And, you know, the one thing about jazz and I'll say gospel, they can't be replaced. It is a live genre. It is a live studio audience genre as opposed to R&B,
right,
and hip hop. Why don't you elaborate,
right,
on that a little bit?
Yeah, definitely. So, I mean, jazz, you know, like you mentioned, you know, coming from roots in gospel and even blues to a sense, right?
Right.
But the origins of jazz are very much a oral tradition, right? Meaning that it's not, it wasn't historically taught in classrooms via textbooks, but rather, you know, younger musicians would listen and learn from the older musicians who would pass down songs, but also lessons and style and how to play certain tunes. And so in that sense, this music has always been about community and gospel very much in the same sense, right? You know, the main purpose of gospel music or the main areas that it was born was communion or community, right? To bring people together in the church.
Right.
And so 100%, yeah, jazz or this music that we're partaking in, we very much feed off the audience. Actually, it's funny you mentioned that. Usually during my shows, Nigeria, I'll mention on the mic, you know, we on the bandstand, the musician side, we're only a small piece of this whole equation. And without an audience, you know, who's listening to us, you know, we're just 4 or 5 musicians playing for each other. But
right,
all of a sudden, now we have a whole audience in front of us who, regardless of their level of knowledge or experience or even interest in the music, you know, if they're able to share something with us in that moment to kind of partake in this grace, if you will, all of a sudden it becomes something a lot bigger than us and a lot more special than just 4 or 5 musicians playing notes for each other. And so, yeah, in that sense, this music has always been about community, and I think it continues to be so.
Right. Is there another single that you could share with us off the album exclusively that you enjoy and that might be released next, or just another track that you're like, yeah, you guys got to wait for this to drop?
Yeah, definitely. Let's see. Maybe the Hotaru Night, I think, would be the other one I would shout out.
Okay. And what inspired you about that track?
Yeah, so Hotaru is the Japanese word for lightning bug.
Okay.
And so, yeah, it translates to lightning bug night. But this is another kind of nostalgic shout out to growing up in the Midwest. You know, I remember at the end of the day when the sun's going down and being out in the yard with my siblings catching fireflies outside or lightning bugs. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, this song's very much an ode to kind of that nostalgic memory. But in terms of the DNA of the song, kind of from a musical standpoint, if you get a chance to hear it, it's very much based on the DNA of Roy Hargrove's Strasbourg's Saint Denis.
Okay.
If you're familiar with that tune. Yeah, which kind of became like a modern-day jazz standard almost. You know, you go to any jam session and young kids coming out of music schools are all wanting to play that tune. And I think it appeals to jazz fans, but it's also got very much kind of R&B DNA in it with a groove. And actually, if you dig deeper, you know, he actually took the chord changes from a Spinner's song. And so I kind of mimicked that ethos and I took a different Spinner song, Sadie, if you're familiar.
Of course. With
that chord progression and then and put a different melody over it. So, yeah, I also wanted to, you know, honor Roy Hargrove. He's one of my biggest influences, one of my favorite artists of all time. And so, yeah, kind of an ode to a number of different influences in my life, you know, whether it be the Midwest community growing up or Roy Hargrove from a musical standpoint or even the Spinners, you know, growing up with kind of the oldies Motown. Yeah, all those musical kind of inputs have influenced me, so wanted to create a song to honor all those traditions.
And you do an excellent job.
June, you do an excellent
job, really. Definitely on the playlist. You guys, once you hear it, you're going to fall in love with it. I mean, especially if you just like music. Like, you're like a musician's musician. Like, you bring the sound, you know? And we appreciate that.
Oh, I appreciate that.
And, you know, as we say always, once a key player, always a key player. So as you continue to grow and prosper and put out more music, definitely let us know. And let the people know how they can reach out to you on social media or your website to find out where you're going to be playing.
Yeah, absolutely. All my handles, website, Instagram, Facebook, it's going to be June Ida Music. That's J-U-N-I-I-D-A Music. And yeah, I'm playing in New York, but also all over the country and a couple international tours this year. So hopefully I can connect with everybody, you know, in your local city soon.
And tell them where they can get the album and the single.
Yeah, absolutely. The album's available on my Bandcamp, also under June Ida Music, or my label Origin Records. You can feel free to find it there. And it's also going to be out on all streaming platforms, Spotify, Apple Music, Tidal, Amazon. Yeah, anywhere you can find it.
Man, June, thank you so much for coming through and just sharing your journey with us. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, Nigeria. Thanks so much for the platform and, you know, letting us speak our side of the story. I truly appreciate it.
You're more than welcome.
All right, take care.
Bye-bye.